Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is it. After 6 years of daily podcasts, which have gone through multiple forms from YouTube to audio only, my producer, Brian Van Gelder, and I are taking a well-deserved break. Before that, let's look back at the wild journey that has been this show. I'm Roger Chang, and this is your Daily Charge. Joining me to reminisce is Joan Salzman, a Daily Charge regular and a regular host when the show was still known as the 359. Welcome, Joan.
Oh, thank you, Roger. It's such an honor to be here.
And joining us is a very special guest, Ben Fox Rubin.
Thank you.
Now, if you don't remember the name, and how could you not, Ben and I actually started this podcast 6 years ago as a part of a random request from our editor, Connie Guglielmo. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so just to give some of our listeners some context, Ben, what do you do now? Where did you disappeared from the face of the earth, at least off this podcast, 2 years ago. Give us just a quick recap of where you are now.
So I moved over to PR and communications, and I work at MasterCard now. So on the other side of the shop, and I do, you know, speech writing. I help run the corporate blog for MasterCard. And yeah, it's been a great learning experience. It's been a lot of fun, obviously. God, I'm going to start crying already. I've really missed you guys, but for having me here, I don't do stuff like this anymore. So like, I was so happy that you guys invited me over. I'm going to sound like somebody's grandpa now, but yeah, it's really like, I used to do like radio interviews all the time. That's, you know, a thing of the past. I'm now behind the camera. So yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's wouldn't have considered doing an episode like this without you, Ben, just given the role you played in the creation of this thing. So, speaking of which, let's take our listeners back, and I'll apologize to our listeners for our self indulgence here, but we're gonna talk about ourselves for basically the next, I don't know, X number of minutes. But
been with us for 6 years, you'll put up with this last episode.
There right? You go, or they'll just skip to the next episode or the next podcast. So let's talk about the 359, because I think for a lot of folks, especially more recent listeners who follow the Daily Charge, don't quite know the origins of it. So, I mean, I've obviously talked enough over the last 6 years. So, Ben, why don't you just give us a quick recap of like how we put this show together?
Like in the most slapdash fashion possible. I remember, so the first couple episodes, it's worth noting that the first episode ever was on a leap day. And so we've been running this for like 6 years or so, but I guess technically only like 2 years or 2.5 years. I don't know how leap days work, but the first couple of episodes I remember were like so lousy in that like we really, really didn't know what we were doing. And so we had to get Brian to cut stitch together the episodes, if you remember. And like we would have to plan them out. Plan our lame dad jokes and then like do different sets of them. And so even though it was only 4 minutes, BVG would have to like go and like do it, like we'll fix it in post-production. And it was interesting to see like a couple months down the road, we would just like punch out an episode a lot faster. But even then, especially like during the 359, we were just like, you know, like it's super busy in a newsroom in the morning. So we were just frantically, I would be trying to post stories, you know, there would always be breaking news about Amazon.
Right. Right.
And then in between we would be, you know, figuring out like, what the hell are we going to talk about today? And you were on paternity leave for like a chunk of the beginning. So like, I was trying to like,
joke. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I was trying.
You're right. That's my son was born.
I was doing, you know, breaking news and doing this and doing like writing through the script. And trying to like scramble to find a co-host. It's like all at the same time. So I was like done by 12 o'clock. I was like, all right, it's noon. Like, I've got to leave.
I kind of, I forgot about this. So I actually pulled up our first episode, or the first story that contains our episode, which unfortunately, because our switch to a different podcast platform, we actually lost all those older episodes.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Like, well, I think it goes back to
what a blessing.
The catalog goes back to like 2019, I think. But 2016, wow. February 29th, 2016 was our first episode. And shocker, it was about 5G.
Yep.
Verizon. Of course.
Yeah.
5G security. And I remember we used to do three topics, which it made it really difficult. Like, it's one of those things, like, in principle, we're like, all right, it's 4 minutes. How hard could that be? But 4 minutes, we're squeezing in like a little bit of analysis and commentary on three topics was actually, especially when we were doing it in that slapdash fashion, was not easy. Not easy.
I thought it was so much fun. I loved that format because it like restricted us. And Brian would always warn us. He was like, look, like, you're going into 5 minutes. You're going into 5.5. Not so. So, we would always go over, but there was a certain energy to it that, you know, like an NPR podcast that's like 2 hours long. Or if you remember the 404, which they were also like, that, those were long form podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't have that, like, just like the like, kind of like on the edge insanity of like, I'm going to try to tell you 15 stories and do it as quickly as possible. Here we
yes.
go.
And for a while it was Ben and I, well, for a while it was really just Ben. Cause I did take, what was it, like 6 weeks off, 4 weeks off for my parental leave, with the birth of my first child. And then there was a lot of, well, between the two of us, a lot of awkwardness and a lot of being dudes. And then Joan, who came back to CNET later in the year, joined us. And what did you think when you saw this podcast that we were doing and this project that we were kind of cranking out on the side of our regular day jobs?
I mean, I feel like, as is a lot of things, whenever I'm interacting with both of you, and Brian as well, and BBG, producer extraordinaire, whenever, even if it's not a podcast setting, I'll often have a moment where I'm like, thank God there's someone who's not these people here to break up. Not that you guys are bad or anything. It's just, you go so off the rails. So.
Correct. This is true.
Just, well, I'll cop to
that.
Not that
it's bad. And like, there's an audience for, you know, sitting and talking about a surfing Pikachu card for 5 minutes, like we were doing pre-show off mic. But
to be fair, it was only like a minute or two. Well, it could have gone a lot longer. To be honest, Joan, yeah. if you weren't here, yeah. It probably would have gone longer. Yeah.
I think a little bit, yeah. A different flavor, I think, is a good thing. In a podcast dynamic, maybe. So that was kind of my impression. Like, oh, good. It's all the Roger Ben BBG flavor. Now there's going to be a different sort of taste, maybe, that people can enjoy or not enjoy. It's up to them. But at least there's some differentiation. Slightly. No,
definitely. Definitely. No. Totally appreciated.
Too, that Alfred Ng, who's now a Politico, added his own, like, weird flavor to it too.
Yes,
kind of also a bro-y energy, admittedly, but like certainly different, certainly a different worldview than Roger and mine. So yeah, it was interesting to see how everybody added their own touch to the whole thing.
Yes, and we do fortunately have a glimpse into those earlier episodes, even though the audio podcasts are not around. At some point, I don't even remember when, and I don't know how, but we switched over to Facebook Live. Brian, I don't know if you recall like the decision behind that, because I don't even remember us.
It was during the pivot to video, the great,
yes,
quote unquote pivot to video, when Facebook Live, when Facebook was like, if you do video, you are going to thrive as a news outlet that's posting on Facebook, right? And then they, yes, immediately like backtracked and stopped that after everyone invested a bunch in video.
They didn't immediately. It took about a year or two, and then they backtracked. Well, they basically left a bunch of publishers holding the bag.
It wasn't immediately, but they didn't tell publishers for a long time after they internally made the decision, oh, like, we're not actually going to care about this anymore.
Yes, but by virtue of the fact that we went on Facebook Live, now the I still, from like my like memories feed in or my memories aspect of the news feed, I still get those episodes that pop up, those older episodes.
Oh, it's your memories.
Yeah, the only way I can. I mean, I could theoretically search through my feed and find, but that would take forever. Right. But like, it resurfaces every once in a while, and I see like you and Ben and Alfred. And it kind of like, I mean, I never actually watch it because I think I would cringe if I watched them now. Brian can note the number of times I flubbed my intro. I think he made at one point like a cut of all the times I did it. Like, not even all, just a fraction of the times. It was just, I like put together an intro that like I could not, that I wrote and like, sounded good in my head, but then as I said it, like I couldn't say the words right for some reason, and then it became a thing, and then I like, yeah, and I would just keep.
It's
flubbing.
All right, Roger. We all do it. We're all human.
Thank
it's
goodness.
Fun. You should have done it this time in honor.
I don't even remember what the intro is now. Like it was like convoluted. Now that I think about it, but I'm really fortunate that things aren't live. Like back then, everything was live. We did Facebook Live, and then we switched to YouTube Live. We started getting questions from the audience. That's when I think we really kind of hit our stride. When I really enjoyed how the show worked, because we had built up a bit of a community and folks who were like regularly coming in and asking us questions.
Yeah, we had like some fans.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I kind of fans, yes, and like also to some degree like collaborators. Like the guy that I always think of off the top of my head because he was so dedicated to the podcast was Michael Brown, but there were a lot of other folks that, you know, Brian, Roger, Joan, you probably know their names. And like, that's what one of the most, you know, enjoyable parts of the whole thing was, is to like have folks come back. And you're totally right. The live Q&A portion was really cool, where like we would just do our spiel and then get to riff on it with, you know, folks coming in. So yeah, that was an awesome format for the show, even though it made it way longer than 4 minutes.
Well, right, that was the thing. I think at some point, that's why we ended up rebranding it to The Daily Jarge, is that, especially when we went to YouTube, they're like, hey, 4 minutes isn't long enough for a video. And so your name is a little problematic. So I alluded to this in yesterday's episode with Joan, but before we move on to The Daily Jarge, I do want to bring up that insane idea and execution of the 3-hour and 59-minute long podcast.
Yeah. That was amazing. So my favorite memory of that particular episode was that Brian showed up with like nuts to keep up his energy. And he's like, because we would cycle out. You know, we would have different people hosting different aspects of it, but Brian was doing it from like start to finish. And so was like fully prepared. Brian, what was it, with almonds or walnuts? I don't, but like, that's how dedicated this man is to the podcast, is that he was like willing to like sweat and bleed for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as soon as we wrap that show, I guarantee you that I swear on everything that is holy, within 8 seconds of us cutting that feed, I was in a dead sprint into the restroom where I was for the next 11 minutes.
Well deserved.
I mean, that's amazing. You went that long without, I don't know. Yeah, that's just a testament to your dedication, Brian. Like
the
that
thing
was.
That I remember from the that ultra long, uber long podcast was like just this kind of like not a specific moment or anything like that, but just this sort of like feeling of it as being like it kind of felt like being part of a PBS telethon where like you're kind of like you're trying to get callers to
ask
call
you for donations. I mean,
we weren't asking for donations, but I got that same sort of like the programming vibe of it, but it was kind of like, oh, but now I'm inside the PBS telethon.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, too. Like we added, there was a guest that was like, it was like a STEM teacher or something.
Yeah, it's a coding program for children. Yeah,
that was really super ambitious. And I don't even remember like where it came up, but like, that's what was so fun about this whole thing, was that like, an idea like that percolated, and then we just decided to do it. And like, okay, how do we do this thing? And, you know, again, testament to Brian that like he's the one that like made so much of this end up happening from a logistics back end. So
yeah, totally.
Much for that.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah, Brian, seriously, thank you. And then we made the move to the Daily Charge. We rebranded. We moved from our little podcast studio to the big studio back in our old offices on 28th Street in Manhattan. That's where we started. Yeah, that's when the Q&A stuff really took off. That's when the show took more of a polished look, which, you know, looking back, we may or may not have liked. But it was, I don't know, what did you all think of, like, the big studio, the fact that it became more of a polished production?
So this was by far my most, like, stressful time at CNET, looking back. Because putting together the regular shows was already like a lot to do, where I felt like it was a photo finish. And so adding all these additional elements in, having the whole script set up and having to read it from the teleprompter, I was like, phew, you know, every single time. The live Q&A portion was usually when I kind of felt like I could let my hair down and be like, okay, I got through the scripted part. This is like the quote unquote fun part. But yeah, it was like a bear to get through. So I don't know if you guys felt that way too.
I don't recall that feeling personally, but I don't know. Prompters don't faze me. Was it the prompter mostly, or preparing the copy for the prompter that felt like a lot of work?
I would say mostly the copy, because it was a little more extensive, but, I think we still ended up getting like a pretty good flow for that too. But I did often feel like I was missing the original, like, super janky version. I must have shared that with you guys before. That's not like news or anything.
Mm-hmm. I did miss the more thrown together aspect of the original show. I did though appreciate, I guess, that more polished production, the fact that there was a teleprompter. I wasn't super comfortable with teleprompters at the beginning, but I got more comfortable with it, and I think that actually kind of helped just with other aspects of my job, like in terms of being a lot more comfortable in front of a formal camera as opposed to like those little corner cameras that we had in the old smaller studio. So I don't know, the mixed feelings about that, but let's just talk about some of the overall moments. I've talked about our 3 hour and 59 minute long episode, but I'm curious what some of the moments are that you're most proud of from that show, the show.
Most proud of?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. That the fondest memories. Let's go with that. If you can't, if there's not necessarily something that comes to mind, because it's been a long 6 years. There's been a lot going on. It's hard to keep track, especially over the last couple of years. So,
well, I talked about this when you and I were just kind of, you know, very quickly chatted about it on yesterday's sort of regular show. You know, that time when we did the like 360 camera outdoor one.
Yeah.
How like the highlight for me was like we all went to Shake Shack afterwards and we had like junk food and milkshakes. And I brought this up yesterday too, but I'll say it again. And you know, that kind of like that being sort of like a fond memory of mine sort of speaks to like the thing that I like most about it was I just got to like chat with the people that I like at work, you know, especially once it moved into the format where we just like, I mean, that's what I love the most is I get to like talk about news with other people who like to talk about news. And oh, they also happen to be some of the people that I like really love working with and being friends with. So my kind of favorite part of it was just like, you know, the, what is it? What's the like cheesy phrase, like about what's the cheesy phrase about like, it wasn't the such and such, it was the friendships that we made or whatever.
the journey along the way.
I don't know.
It's the friends we made along the journey. I don't know. I'm butchering that.
It's a cheesy phrase here about friendship. Yes. That's how I feel about it.
This is so sweet. So I would probably say for me, I really like those episodes when it was like an Apple day or a Google day, because the news was like so fresh And it just became part of like the hectic energy of those days, because like the entire newsroom was like blasting through stories when these events were going on. And then we were like, boom, let's put a script together and then just go into the podcast studio. Mm-hmm. I think we would also do the YouTube live shows too. And would have like this immediate feedback or this immediate.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember having, you know, folks like Jessica Delcourt or Sharp Tipkin on like as our like expert to take those questions. And it was always, I think for some of them, not all of them. There's kind of a nervous factor and like, oh, I'm going to be on a live video feed with questions being thrown at me live. And, it was kind of great to watch all of them like step into that and like, basically everyone killed it, crushed it when they came on, right? They became their usual experts and stopped thinking about it being live. And I just kind of loved that, the fact that it was a experiment, but it was a great format, I think, for folks at CNET, our experts, to kind of show off their knowledge like in real time. Like it's not faked. These are legit experts.
Speaking of which, one of my favorite like knockdown guests was David Katzmeyer. So you could get him in the like doing the YouTube show or the podcast last minute, like 3 minutes before the show goes on or whatever. I'm exaggerating. And be like, I need you to talk about TVs or micro LED technology or literally any question, no matter how esoteric, from a live Q&A, he would answer in a fashion that was like encyclopedic. It was just really friggin' cool to see a guy that knows that much about his craft and about like TV technology. He would do it on during CES too. Like you just plop him down at CES and he would wax on for like 25 minutes about TV tech. So yeah, definitely shout out to David.
I got two highlight moments that I want to reflect on.
Please, please.
My legitimate number one is when we were shooting the promos during the rebrand.
Oh my gosh.
Ben thought he was going to be funny. And I'm behind the camera. He's got a boom mic suspended over him. And he thought he was going to do a little sneeze gag, a little slapstick comedy, and go off script on me. And the genius himself toppled the entire boom mic, which came down on the camera pedestal, which then bent forward and completely collapsed, including the teleprompter.
It was so ridiculous. It was like straight out of Three Stooges. If you have the GIF, which I know you do, you have to share it.
I have it somewhere. It's buried somewhere, Ben. I know I haven't destroyed that. I just got to find it. But yeah, like we kept that footage.
Oh, that nice.
Such a great memory.
We used it in the promo that syndicated. It's in the video.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was so on brand.
I thought I was being so clever where I was like, I'm going to do the sneeze gag. It's going to be great. And then like all hell broke loose.
did you actually damage anything or was it just?
No, it was all salvageable, but it did collapse.
That is very bad. It's very on brand with the show for sure.
My runner up was there was one time, and I'm going to leave this vague because no one else is going to remember this besides us. But we had a guest on, and it was someone who was relatively high up the chain.
I know. Yeah, go on.
I don't want to get into too many details because it's pretty damning. But we had him on to talk about Star Trek, and homeboy ghosted us the entire show.
He like didn't seem like he knew that much about the show, but
it didn't seem like he knew that much. Period.
Yep.
Yikes.
Yep. Yep. So we'll leave it at that. But I do remember that. I wouldn't say it's one of my fondest memories, but it's definitely a notable one.
I just say, I mean, we've done hundreds. We've done over 1,000 of these shows. And a lot of it does kind of blur together after a while. But those were just a couple of real standouts. And the reason they stand out is because they went horribly wrong.
Well, I remember one that. It could have gone horribly wrong. Like you're never supposed to you're never supposed to be on camera with children or animals. But remember when we had that episode where we had puppies? I can't remember.
Yes. That was Bridget? That was you and
I wasn't on, but I remember watching. Was I?
No. Yes. It was an episode. I can't remember the tech angle. I don't, and I don't need to know. I just remember that there was, it was an episode and we had puppies in the studio and they were adorable. They were amazing. And then other, and then like, I don't, you guys probably weren't, were you even in the office that day? Because after we were done taping, then everybody in the office got to come in and play with puppies. It was amazing.
No, I must have been out of town or something. Cause I remember seeing this on screen and wondering what, but I don't think I ever, yeah, I would have remembered experiencing the show with puppies. That I missed out, clearly.
Same here. Yeah. But that is definitely, I remember seeing like screenshots of it. And that's what was cool about, you know, the old office too, was that I remember like the Sesame Street puppeteers showed up one time. This wasn't for the podcast, but like, you know, every now and then you would bump into like some interesting folks that would waltz through the office. So yeah, definitely. Or puppies, obviously.
I will say, well, this isn't like a fond memory. This is just like, for some reason, it sticks out my mind because it's fairly early in the show because we'd mostly done those 4-minute long podcasts. And I think at one point, this is clearly before Joan came back to do this, but we decided to do an extended episode to talk about Batman v Superman. And it was like, I think our first time, because it was like a 40-minute episode. It was like a long episode. I think it was like a special or something. And we just decided to experiment with it. And I only remember because I was working from home. I think it was a Friday recording. And I didn't really have a spot for podcasts. And the only place with any good audio acoustics was my bathroom. So I was just like, I had my laptop and my toilet. And I was just sitting there recording it. And I'm like, this is not a day I expected to have, like sitting in the bathroom talking about Batman v Superman for a good, almost an hour. So I don't know why that always stuck out for me. Cause like that was one of the first times we really started experimenting with kind of random episodes or formats.
Yeah.
Speaking of extended episodes, that just jogged my memory that we had a snow day episode. It was me, you, and Brian. And it was like, there was so much snow on the ground. Nobody came into the office except for the three of us. And we did an extended episode, also a super geeky thing.
What did we talk about? Was it?
I don't remember. It was something along the lines of Batman versus Superman. Okay. There was also an extended episode where just you and Brian geeked out about anime for like 45 minutes. And it was kind of like I was at the kids' table and you guys were at the adults' table.
Oh, that like, episode actually did really, really well.
Right. But like, it was literally like, Ben, you don't know about this. We'll take it from here. Like, go sit over there. We're going to do an anime episode. And I was like, thank God. Like, I can't even like pretend to know about anime. So it's just like, but yeah, you guys like went off about it. So yeah, there were some cool, like heavy nerdetry episodes.
I always just liked how ramshackle everything was. Like, for anybody who really wanted a peek behind the curtain, I wish I could show you how much spit and duct tape held this show together.
Yeah.
highlights being when we transitioned to the work from home model during the pandemic, mm-hmm. which was a whole big, huge format pivot and try to figure stuff out logistically. We get Roger a microphone and a recorder, but we didn't get him a pop shield. So at the 11th hour, I'm just like, put your kid's sock on it. And that was your pop shield like, for your microphone.
For
like
a good year.
And I'll be damned if it didn't work.
For a good year and a half, actually, before I kind of got proper facilities. Yeah, like
because instead of me buying the $3 foam capper for the microphone, we just like, well, why spend money?
Yeah. No, it wasn't a microphone. It was the Zoom mic, a Zoom recorder that I was using for a good year. I didn't even have, when that pandemic hit, like I didn't really have a workspace that could accommodate all this stuff until much later into the pandemic. So yeah, it was, and I was like sitting in my kid's room hiding from, like the kids were outside being fed so like they wouldn't come in and mess the recording up. It was, I remember that, it was stressful, but it was fun. And it was a nice break from, well, the terribleness of the pandemic. So
it was fun to see how increasingly disheveled we looked too. So like, I remember I like grew my beard out during the pandemic. And so that was like another like hilarious aspect of like being on video with you guys, like trying to push together the podcast. And
yes,
it was like one of the few interactions where it wasn't like in our isolated spheres, you know, because like everybody's world like shrank considerably.
Yeah.
And I would say we at that point we'd switched back to audio. So fortunately no one had to see our disheveled and tired faces. But it did actually open the door for us to do a lot more guest interviews. Like I was able to not just with you folks, but I got to expand out the roster of folks that I would interview. At that point we kind of switched the format, and so we were able to interview more folks across CNET. It didn't have to be like a multiple host situation. And we had a number of pretty great guests. We had like the Shang-Chi director, Dustin Jane Cretton. We had Ashton Kutcher on. We had a whole Tony Fadell, the inventor of the iPod. We had a whole bunch of folks on for a bunch of episodes. So really kind of expanded and evolved. In some ways, it freed us to be more ambitious in different ways with the show. So
for sure.
All right. Well, we've taken up our listeners' time enough. It's been
half an hour of waxing romantic about
yes, and as is appropriate,
our little podcast.
As is appropriate for my dynamic with Brian, I have to tell him that I messed up the first half of my recording. The file got corrupted, so I've only got half the second half of the audio
That's
file.
So classic.
It's very me. So
thanks, Roger. The grand finale is going to result in me doing production surgery for hours. So on brand.
Sorry. Hopefully the Zoom recording is sufficient. But let's wrap things up. Ben, thanks again for joining us. You obviously were absolutely instrumental in making the Daily Charge and 359 what it is. And obviously we miss you a ton. We're super happy that you're successful and killing it at MasterCard with your golden airplane and whatever awesome perks you've got. NFTs.
Golden airplane?
In my mind, he's got like a golden private jet that he flies around. That's the MasterCard way.
We all do around here. Yes.
I'm sure your boss is going to love that.
Moving on
to Joan. I said my thanks yesterday, but thank you again for bringing in that different flavor and really just being like an awesome friend and co-host all these years. Aww. And supporter of the show. And to Brian, who's been especially recently our mostly silent sidekick. You know, I didn't really know you before the podcast. Like, obviously, I kind of knew you as the guy who did everything at CES,
right?
In the background, who ran around a lot, and you knew not to mess with him because he was busy. Back then, you had a handlebar mustache, you had like a hipster vibe, and I was just like, "Who is this random person?" But it didn't take long for me to realize that like you are one of the most creative, passionate, and just effective people I've ever met. You're clearly someone who gets stuff done, as evidenced by the fact that this show has existed for 6 years, and you've really been the heart and soul of the 359 and the Daily Charge. So, BBG, thank you.
100%. Yeah.
100%. Jeez, y'all. I didn't need to get emotional on this. I'll just have to say, like, this has been a tremendous feather in my cap. It gave me an excuse to get to know y'all who I might not have necessarily worked with. Like you said, this was something that just kind of got dropped on our plate and is going through a zillion and a half iterations. And it was like, hey, we want to try doing a daily podcast. Can you figure it out? Yep. Hey, we're trying to experiment with Facebook Live. You want to figure it out? Yep. Hey, Facebook Live sucks. Will you move over to YouTube? Yep. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's always just been like those random requests, and that's how this somehow formulated into its own little personality. But yeah, this is a peak in career for me, having something with such longevity, prestige, and it rarely went considerably wrong.
It was entertaining. When it crashed and burned, it was a very entertaining crash and burn.
Yeah, it's been a great ride. Thank you. And thank you, Roger, especially for steering it and for talking me off ledges and, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's been like I said, a wild and just a ride that I could be really proud of. I mean, 6 years for anything is a long time. So, all right, time to wrap things up for the last time for now. For the Daily Charge, I'm Roger Chang. Thanks for listening.